If you've got a friend or a family member that's really struggling, going through a very deep, dark time, tonight's message will really help them. I almost can guarantee it. We're going to be talking about when the days grow weary. And in all of our lives, we have times when the days get mighty weary. And the Lord gives us in His Word how to overcome that and to rebuild and to get started afresh. And so if you got family, relatives, neighbors, somebody that's really going through a difficult time, if they can't come tonight, maybe show them how to listen online, because I really think it'll help. So today we're going to look at religions and rules and rituals. And we're going to start by reading Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So if you'll stand with me, we'll honor God's word. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Father, today as we look at religion and rules and rituals, Father, help us to stand against man-made rules and man-made religion and man-made rituals. Father, we'll give you the praise today in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. A situation came up in our Bible reading today that made Jesus very, very angry. It's in the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and we see clearly one of the things that made Jesus angry and it caused him to give his arch enemies the look. Have you ever seen the look? I used to get it from my mom and my dad. Instead of beating me right away, they would give me the look first. And if I didn't respond to the look, look out. Today I get the look from my wonderful wife. She gives me the look. And I know right away, I'm crossing into pretty difficult turf here. I better watch myself. Well, Jesus gave him the look. And folks, he was very angry. Religious people can make the Lord very angry. There's godly religion, and then there's man-made religion. There are godly rules, and then there are man-made rules. There are godly rituals, and then there are man-made rituals. And you better know the difference between the two, or you can get caught up in these things and find yourself just like the Pharisees here, judging someone who's doing exactly the right things that God would have them do. It happens all the time. If you're a churchgoer, you're crossing your T's and you're dotting your I's and you're following the rules that your church says to do, and somebody else isn't. They can be ever so good of a person. They can be trying to do the very best they can to please God, but they're not doing it the way you do it. They're not doing it the way your church says to do it. When you start to judge them, be careful. You're crossing into very dangerous turf where the Lord may give you the look. You'll feel it in your heart. You won't see it in his eye, but you'll know that he's not pleased. Because instead of extending grace, instead of extending a blessing to others, you find yourself judging others. Be careful. The Lord said, "Who are you to judge another man's servant?" Remember, they're not your servants. They serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And if they do it a little different than you do, they believe a few things different than you do, be careful. It can get you into a lot of trouble. I read a story here a while ago about a man. He was part of a parachute club, and he was also a great photographer. And so the club talked to him about maybe taking a shot as the whole club jumped out of the plane, and they were planning, they were going to come out of the plane, they were going to form a circle as they're coming down, and this photographer was going to take pictures of everybody in the circle. And so, boy, it was an exciting time for this photographer. Not only did he love parachuting, but he loved photography. And so they're all on the plane. They're up there about, 4,000 foot, whatever they jump from. And he's the first one out. This is the photographer guy. He's the first one out. He's taking pictures of each one as they come out. And, of course, you're following all the time you're taking the pictures. Takes the pictures. They all get together. They all join hands. And he takes a picture of the circle. And, oh, it's so wonderful. And then he goes around and taps each one on the shoulder when it's time for them to pull their chute. And, of course, they pop up in the air and they're up above them. And all at once you see the camera go wild. It's aiming everywhere. And that's the time when the photographer realized he didn't put his chute on. He needed something that they had. He was part of the group, but he didn't have what they had. They had the parachute. He realized he had forgotten the most important thing. He was so caught up with the adventure, the photography, and all the rest, he forgot the most important thing. And we as Christians need to remember, we don't want to get so caught up in what's going on in our rules and our rituals and our religion that we forget the most important thing. I have to tell you, there's people going to churches today that keep all the rules. They do everything their church tells them to do. But when judgment day comes, they're going to find out they didn't have the most important thing. You have to personally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter that you got baptized. It doesn't matter that you joined a church. It doesn't matter that you read the Bible every day, because you didn't do the most important thing. You got caught up in the religion. You got caught up in the rules and the rituals, but you never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, I can't warn you enough on this. We need to be very, very careful that we make sure that we do the first thing first. The Bible says there's no other foundation that you can lay other than Christ Jesus himself. It doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Pentecostal. It doesn't matter. What matters is, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? So I want to talk to you about some of the things that make our Lord angry, and one of them is putting your religion over your God. And again, I don't care what the name on the door is. There are Catholics that'll tell you, I'm Catholic. Are you a Christian? I'm Catholic. I'm a Baptist. Are you a born-again Christian? I'm a Baptist. A Baptist or a Lutheran or a Catholic, it means nothing, folks. What matters is relationship. And so many people have religion, but no relationship. That's going to be a sad time to find out on Judgment Day that I was never born again. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus, a very religious Pharisee? He said, unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. Folks, it's such an important thing. And it's put on the side by many, many different churches. It says in Mark chapter 3, verse 1, another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. That took place, the other Gospels tell us, it took place in Capernaum. And Jesus was in synagogue because it was Sabbath day. Just like today, we meet normally on Sundays. In the Jewish religion, they met on Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. And so usually on Saturday morning, they would come together in synagogue because that's where they met. And it was so important. Jesus was in the right place doing exactly what God wanted him to do. He was in the synagogue, which was God's house, where they met for restoration, they met for regeneration, and they met to serve and worship the Lord. He was there for the right purpose. Most of the other people were there for the right purpose. But there were religious people that were there for the wrong purpose. In Mark chapter 3, verse 2, It says some of them, and they find out from the other gospel, these were the Pharisees that were there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day. They brought this man with the shriveled hand, knowing Jesus was going to be there, knowing that Jesus had a penchant for healing on the Sabbath. And they wanted him to heal that man on the Sabbath so they would have the goods on him. That was their purpose. They were not in synagogue that day to worship God. They were not in synagogue that day to learn something new that they hadn't learned before. They were there for one reason. That was to judge and accuse another attender. Folks, I got to tell you, there are people that come to churches just looking for somebody. Imagine somebody coming in here with tattoos all over their arms. Why they're so different. Imagine somebody coming into our church with a nose ring. Oh, that'd be awful. Somebody that when we're doing the worship songs, they might raise their hands and praise the Lord. Can you imagine? Folks, that's what's wrong with religion. Religion, instead of building people up, instead of encouraging people to do good works, discourages people and discourages God's good works. They were looking for something, a flaw in Jesus, something that they could accuse him for. Legalism. When we use the term legalism, because they had rules upon rules upon rules. Legalism is when you turn your personal preferences into doctrines. It's not in the Bible. You can't find in the Bible where you couldn't heal on the Sabbath day. It did say you shouldn't do work. But it did say if a man had a cow, guess what? You got to milk the cow on Saturday, just like you do on every other day of the week. And so you could do some work, but you did the minimum you could do. But Jesus is saying, should you do evil on the Sabbath or good on the Sabbath? And the reason he asked, should you do evil, is because these men were doing evil on the Sabbath. They were trying to stop a healing of a man. When we think what God says, or what we think is what God wants, we begin to form our own doctrines. We form religions. And often religions are contrary to the Word of God. We have to come back to what our God has said. We have to watch ourselves, as we're a part of a Baptist church. But we have to watch ourselves that we don't get Baptist doctrine. People don't do that. And I got to tell you, we all have a little bit of Pharisee in us. I can still remember, this is 20 years ago. I and Mimi were youth leaders. Well, it would have been 30 years ago plus. I've been here 28. It's hard to believe. But about 30, 35 years ago, we went to a youth rally with our kids. We were the youth leaders at Trinity. And one of the bigger churches was there, one of the bigger Baptist churches. And they had a huge youth group. And boy, it's really good to see. You know, we had a pretty good size youth group at Trinity, but they had three times as much as us at least. Well, when the music started, of all things, their kids got up and started to jump to the music. And I thought, you can't do that. Who says you can't do that? Jerry Larkin says you can't do that. That's not right respect for the song. But those kids were having a wonderful time. By the time I got done, I said, you know, they can do that. And it was good that they did that. There's nothing wrong with that. But this old Pharisee had to say, it's not up to me to judge that. That's between them and their God. If people do things a little different than you do it, you got to realize you've got religion. It doesn't have to be one set way. Now, there are some things that get out of hand, and you say, well, probably not the best for the worship service, but I want to tell you, there's so much freedom in Christ. Jesus said, I came to set you free, not to bind you with more and more and more rules. When our hobby becomes nitpicking and judging others, and when we go to church on Sunday, we're looking to see, does any fella have hair over their ears? Why, you've never seen anything so bad. Or a little bit longer down their neck. Do you know how long Jesus' hair probably was? You know that it probably went almost to his shoulders? If you can imagine that, I just can't. Folks, we need to be careful with this stuff. Because we start judging, we start looking at others. We look at others and we say, do you know they drink alcohol? No Christian could ever drink alcohol. Remember what Jesus made at the wedding out of the water? He made what? Well, I know that was just grape juice. It was not, come on, you guys, couldn't be wine. Well, it was wine. And it was interesting that the Bible says, the man that came up said, after they're well drunk, then you bring out the worst wine. Why? Because by the time you're well drunk, you can't taste it anyhow anymore. And so you can bring out whatever you want. But he said, you brought the best wine now. Folks, it was alcohol. And we can get down on people who drink. We can get down on people that go to the movies. We can get down on people that play cards. And of all things, do not cut your grass on Sunday. Oh, it's the worst thing that could possibly ever happen. And we judge people. Folks, that is man's religion. You're saying it's wrong. God didn't say it was wrong. And you better be careful when you start that, because you're just like the Pharisees. There are things that I don't do. I don't drink alcohol. But it's not because I believe you can't. Some of my best Christian friends drink alcohol. They're wonderful Christian people. The reason I don't drink at all is because 3 beers and I'm drunk. It takes almost nothing to get me over the hill. And so the only safe way for me is don't drink at all. I had a friend in high school that could drink a whole case of beer and never showed any effects whatsoever. He could drink more than I could. But you need to know yourself. And if something you're doing, even if it's not forbidden, if it constantly gets you into trouble, something that's perfectly okay for somebody else may not be okay for you. And you have to understand, just because it's not okay for you doesn't mean it's not okay for somebody else. Be careful of trying to be God's judge. You're not. Watch your position. So in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know we don't need more rules? There are plenty of rules in the Bible. We don't need to add more. Be very, very careful about adding to the Word of God, and we learned in Sunday school, or taking away from the Word of God. God has given us all that we need for life and godliness in His Word. He doesn't need your help, and He doesn't need mine to add more. The rules, don't put rules over goodness. And that's what these people were doing. These Pharisees were putting their rules over the good thing that God wanted to do. In Mark chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said unto the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. He asked that man to stand up, and then he looked at the Pharisees in the crowd there that day and said, what are the rules here? What rules are you going by? You know, every ball game, I was an umpire for Little League for years. Every game has rules. And to have a coach or a kid or a parent try to change the rules in the middle of the game, it doesn't work. You have to stick with the rules. And so Jesus is saying to the Pharisees in front of him, what's the rule? Can you do good on the Sabbath day or evil on the Sabbath day? And they won't answer him. Why? Because they know they can't give a good answer. They've got their rules that says you can't do anything on the Sabbath day. But Jesus is saying, can you do good? The Bible says, if you see your neighbor's ox fall into the ditch, what are you supposed to do? Pick it up and get it out of there and help the neighbor. Does it matter if it's Sabbath day or not Sabbath day when the ox falls? Well, I'd sure like to help, but, you know, I got my rules. I can't do that on the Sabbath day. Folks, you would need to be careful with this because it'll get you into trouble. Here's what the Jewish leaders did. They studied the scriptures and they realized from the scriptures themselves, there were 248 different commandments in the Old Testament. There were also 365 prohibitions in the Old Testament, which means in the Old Testament, you find 613 rules, things you should do and things you shouldn't do. But that's not enough, is it? I mean, we need to make sure we don't break the rule. So let's make a rule that'll help us not to break the rule. Well, they did that. They added 1,500 more rules and additions, and they wrote a book called the Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, they had all the 613 rules that were in the Bible, plus 1,500 rules that were in the Mishnah. And you say, well, that's enough, isn't it? No, it's not enough. They had to have more rules. And they wrote another book. It's called the Jermea. And together, the Jermea and the Mishnah became the Talmud. And they had literally thousands of rules governing every area of life. Rules that God never gave. Rules to help them be rulers. Instead of following God's rules, they wanted to be the ruler. They're the one that'll tell you what's right and wrong. And you know that hasn't gone away yet? The churches are still trying to tell you this is what you must do. Folks, be careful. If it's contrary to God's word, guess what? That's not what you must do. In fact, it's exactly what you must not do. We don't want to get into rulemaking. They had rules like if you were out in the country, you couldn't walk more than 5.98 miles in any one direction without changing course. What does that have to do with the Word of God? Not a thing, but it was a rule they made up. They had other rules on the Sabbath. You couldn't do anything but rest. Have you ever tried to take a day and do nothing but just rest? Have you had little kids? We used to have a neighbor down the road, Seventh-day Adventist. Wonderful, wonderful family. But on the seventh day, that little boy couldn't go and play at all. He couldn't run. He couldn't do things. Folks, that had to be the hardest because that little boy was just full of energy. He loved to run. Can't do that. Can't do anything. They calculated if you walked more than 50 steps on the Sabbath, you were working. Didn't give you much leeway there. You couldn't carry a load heavier than a dried fig, but if anything weighed half the amount of a dried fig, you could carry it twice. Remember when the Lord healed the man and told him to take up his mat and walk? A mat weighs almost nothing. But they had a rule. You couldn't carry a mat. Yeah, on the Sabbath day, you couldn't do it. And so rule upon rule upon rule. When we teach our kids and our grandkids the principles of life, you better tell them rules are important. There's nothing wrong with rules. But when any rules stop you from doing what God is telling you in your heart you ought to do, that rule is wrong, at least at that time. I don't care if it's any rule. You can look even at God's rules. Thou shalt, we memorize the Ten Commandments, not quite according to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. How do we say it? Thou shalt not lie. Do you know what that can do you? When you don't use God's word the way it's meant to do, it can get you into a lot of trouble. Suppose you're in the Second World War. You've got Jewish people in your basement because you can't stand to turn them over to the authorities because they're killing them. And the Gestapo knocks on your door. Have you got Jews in your basement? Well, I can't lie. And so you tell them, yes, I've got Jews in my basement. They don't just take those Jews. They take you too, and they're going to kill you. There is a time to lie. Remember when the spies, 10 spies or the 12 spies went, and they went to the house of the prostitute? And she hit him. And they came and said, we heard that the Jew or those Jewish spies are here. Where are they? Oh, they left a long time ago. She had hid them. Did God curse her for doing that? God blessed her. She became the great, 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 great grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we misinterpret the scriptures, when we say thou shalt not lie, it locks you into a position where God may not be able to use you the way he wants to use you. You need to memorize God's word as it's written. Not an easy thing that's on a blackboard. The reason they cut it down, thou shalt not lie, is because the other one had more words. It was easier to put in. I want you to know, when it comes to doing good, watch out for the rules. Sometimes they'll keep you away from doing what you ought to be doing because you're doing it for God's glory. You're doing it for the good of others. You're not bearing false witness against your neighbor. You're bearing false witness for your neighbor. Be careful. Don't put rituals over grace. Jesus is asking these men a question. Is it okay to do good on the Sabbath day? Their rituals would not allow any grace to be shown on the Sabbath day. You couldn't heal. You couldn't do anything that might be interpreted by their thousands of rules to be work. Did Jesus raise a hand to heal that man? Did Jesus do a medical procedure to heal that man? He didn't do anything. He just said, stretch out your hand. And he was instantly healed. Folks, in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Why did Jesus get angry at these religious leaders? It's because God said, my house is going to be a house of healing. My house is going to be a house of prayer. My house is going to be a house of grace. And they were stopping what God wanted to happen with their rules. We need to watch this. Believe it or not, God is all about grace. He's not about the rules. He's not a taskmaster up there just waiting for the next time you break any one of his, in their view, thousands of rules. And as soon as you do, man, fire's coming down. That's not the God we serve. He's a God of grace. How many times did he warn the children of Israel before he finally brought judgment? Thousands and thousands of times. Same in my life. He warns me and warns me and warns me. If I just keep going, sooner or later, I'm going to get it. But maybe it'll be later. And so I keep going. And then the bottom drops out. Folks, we need grace. A little illustration of this. A lady always cut the ends off her ham before she would cook it for Easter. Both ends had to come off the ham. And so a neighbor came over one time and saw her preparing the ham. And she saw that she cut both ends off. She says, Mary, why do you cut both ends off your ham? And Mary said, you know, I don't know. My mother always did. And so Mary got thinking about that through the week, and she called her mother and said, Mom, how come you always cut the ends off your ham? And her mother said, you know, Mary, I don't know why. My mother always did that. So both of them got on the phone and called Grandma. Grandma, why did you cut the ends off your ham all those years? She said, well, we were pretty poor when we first got married, and we just had a little pan, so I had to cut both ends off to get it into the pan. Do you understand that's why traditions start in churches? Sometimes it's no good reason that we can think of now, but we don't want any change to how things have been done. Do you know why the 11 o'clock service is pretty much standard across Christianity? Because the farmers had to milk their cows. And it took a while in the morning to get the cows milked, and so they would have the worship service after the farmers were done so they could get to church. Do you remember when churches first started to change that? Can you imagine a 9:30 service? Why? It's outlandish. Churches meet at 11. What did you think when the Catholic Church first came out with Saturday night mass? I remember, like, I couldn't believe it. And then the worst thing of the worst thing is some Protestant churches started to do the same thing. And I thought, oh, this just can't be. What does God say about that in the book of Romans? He says one man worships on one day and puts it special. Another man treats every day alike, and God blesses them both. Why did the church meet on Sunday? Well, we believe historically it's because that's Resurrection Day. But could the church worship on Thursday or Friday or any other day? We get so caught up with the rules and the way it's always been that we forget that when we start to judge others based on what we think God would have, because we think we know what God wants, and it's beyond what his word says, we can become Pharisees. The Pharisees thought they were the only ones that were doing God's will. But do you know that most of the Pharisees didn't know the God they thought they were serving? Jesus called them what? A brood of vipers. They were Satan, children of Satan. That's what Jesus said about most of them. No, not all of them, but most of them. In Mark chapter 3, verse 6, these are the people that are really concerned about healing on the Sabbath day. You can't do any work on the Sabbath day. You can't even do good on the Sabbath day. Look what they say. Then the Pharisees went out and began to do what? To plot with Herodians how they might kill Jesus. What day are they doing that on? They're doing that on the Sabbath day. They're doing that. They're planning how to kill a righteous man. They can't find any fault in what he's doing, but he's not doing it our way. The problem with these people is they didn't care about that man's withered hand. Their hearts were so withered, they didn't care about anything except their rules anymore. That's all that mattered. Do you know Jesus healed 7 times in the scriptures on the Sabbath day? One other time, I'll just hit one of them, in John chapter 9, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Folks, how did Jesus do the miracles? He did it through his Father's grace. He didn't do it by keeping a list of rules. Be careful, so careful, about thinking your rules are God's rules. They're not. God has given us all the rules we need. In Luke chapter 6, verse 41, this is the verse, I just want you to keep this in your mind. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It's so easy for me to point my finger at you and say what you're doing is wrong. But when I do that, there's 3 fingers coming right back to me. Folks, we need to be careful with this. If God has not said something's wrong, don't you be the judge. You can say, I think it's wrong. That's fine. But don't say God says it's wrong unless you can show a verse that shows very clearly that God has said, thou shalt not. We need to be careful because there's a proper place for religion. There's a proper place for rules. And there is a proper place for rituals. But it's not first place. All that has to come under the sovereign control of the God we serve. When we set ourselves up as God, we make the rules. We'll tell you what's right. We'll tell you what's wrong. And we'll tell you when you can do it and when you can't do it. You have become a legalist. And God will give you the look. Father, we're so thankful that you tell us in your word that you came to set us free. And if we'll follow your teaching, we'll be free indeed. We won't need men telling us what's right and wrong. We'll simply trust your word and your spirit to direct our lives. We'll walk in grace. We'll walk in joy. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.